So we're going to continue today on our theme of Jesus, the light of the world. We're going to look at our devotion to him. We've spent a whole year looking at how God is totally devoted to us and how we can be devoted back to him. And I've taken a verse today, which might be quite strange to some people about devotion, and I'll try and explain it to you. And I'm sorry if your notes that will be available afterwards have loads of spelling mistakes. And this week has been a week of all weeks, and it's been probably one of the most challenging weeks I've had for a long time. So apologies for the notes. They are there, and it'll be spot the mistakes probably for some of you. However, our devotion to him is a theme that we've been running for over a year, and it's so important. We've been building blocks. We looked at our identity in Christ. We're looking at our devotion to him. There's a two building blocks that we're going to build on, which is the third building block that will be coming next year, which is called Pursuing His Presence. And we need to understand these two lots of teaching to help us build for where God is going to take us as a church. Already we know the more we're praying, the battle is stronger than it's ever been before. And the enemy does want the church to be weak and powerless. The church is not impotent. The church is not weak. The church is not powerless because we have Jesus, the light of the world, living in us. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who was the light to the world in the Old Testament? Anybody know who was the light to the world in the Old Testament? Anybody want to have a guess? It was the people of Israel. So let's look at some scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 6, 42 verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. So God had called his people to be a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49 verse 6. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation might reach to the ends of the earth. So when God chose the people of Israel to be his special people, he chose them to be distinctively different. Can you say that together? Distinctively different to every other people. That is why they worship in a different way to every other culture. That is why they behave and have all these kind of things that they do, because God called them right at the beginning of time to be distinctively different to every other people and to be a light to the Gentiles. I thank God for the people of Israel. Now, who is the light of the world? Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus was born on this earth, he took over responsibility. It's almost like a baton was passed from the people of Israel to Jesus, who wasn't a light to the world. He was the light of the world. And there's a big difference here. Jesus makes some radical claims. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus has made the most amazing claims in the whole of history. And either he is who he says he is, or he was a liar and a deceiver. You don't have a choice. He wasn't just a good man. He either is who he says he is, or he was a liar and a deceiver. Now, we believe he is who he says he is in this church. And we will preach that until those doors ever close. We will preach that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus makes these claims. He makes two claims, quite amazing claims. In John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is the light, and he's the light of life. He is the light of the world who shines in the darkness. Jesus makes this claim, John 9, verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus declares this to the people around him. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light in the darkness. And I will continue to be the light in this darkness. I will continue to work, and I will continue to be the light in this world. And I will continue to work in and through others. So then we come to a scripture in Matthew, which is the key scripture I want us to work from today. And if we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, Jesus teaches this in a place called Galilee. And this is what he says to the disciples. He uses these words, you are the light of the world. Would you say to the person next to you, you are the light of the world? A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus is in Galilee. Jesus has, before in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, he's called the disciples out to follow him. The disciples are following him. He then, news about Jesus spreads throughout Galilee and multitudes, thousands of people come to flock to hear Jesus. And Jesus does teaching on the Beatitudes, who's blessed are they, blessed are you, which is, and when you take the Hebrew word, is happy are you, not necessarily blessed. And he talks in the Beatitudes to the people. He then warns the disciples, actually, that persecution is going to come to those people that follow him. And he warns the disciples and the multitudes around him. But then he explains in this verse 14 of Matthew chapter 5, that just as he took on the responsibility, the baton of being the light to the world, the disciples were going to do something. The disciples were going to carry the light of the world. They were going to carry Jesus. They were going to carry the presence of God wherever they went. They were going to allow the light of God to shine in and out and through them into a broken world. And we'll try to illustrate that a little bit better. And the way Jesus was going to continue to do the work, as he said, I'm the light of the world and I will continue to light the world. He was going to do it by being a light through the disciples. And today, you and I are his disciples and Jesus continues his work through you and I. We all know that, don't we? It's not. This isn't new news, is it? It's not fake news. It's not new news. We know this. Okay, so we are the ones that carry the light of the world. And Jesus continues his work through us. So part of our devotion to God, it's not everything, but part of it is for us to allow the light of Jesus Christ that shines within us to penetrate the darkness wherever we place our feet. Do you agree with that? Wherever we place our feet, we bring the presence of God and we bring the light of God into that situation. So light is intended for illumination. We have these wonderful lights today that illuminate and show us. And it is for seeing. If I turned all the lights out and there were no lights and I stood here, you could probably hear my voice, but you probably would not see me. Some of you saying, yeah, let's turn the lights out. And the scripture in Matthew chapter 5 says the people living in Galilee would see the light of a city by night in the mountains. And they would understand this teaching. Those people that came with me to Israel, we went to Galilee, we did the teaching of this scripture of the light in the city that can't be hidden. And if you're in Galilee, there are mountains all around you, surrounded by mountains. And at night time, you can see the cities because they're lit up. You cannot help but miss them. So when Jesus says that you are the light of the world and the light of a city cannot be hidden, they would understand it. How foolish it would be for us to, for Peter, who put the lights up. Thank you, Peter. Peter and I put that. For Peter to go and get the scaffolding and then to cover all the lights. So that when we turn the switch on, we couldn't see the light. What would be the point of having lights? If we covered them up, we turn the switch on and it doesn't do anything. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of energy. A waste of time putting them there in the first place. Followers of Jesus are to be like a light on a lampstand. They are to let their light shine before others. Why do we let the light of Jesus shine before others? So that our Father in heaven may be. Why do we do it? So that our Father in heaven may be glorified. Part of our devotion to God is to make sure that our Father is glorified in all things. God should be glorified in everything we say and everything we do. Isn't that true? Sometimes he's not. Isn't that true? So light doesn't originate with believers. It originates from Jesus, who is the light of the world, who lives in us. And we are to let him shine out through us. In the good that we do, in our actions. Our actions speak much louder than words. Our words are good, or should be. We can talk the talk, but walking the walk is another matter sometimes. Our actions show our light. The way we live our lives, the way we are before other people. And if people see us in the way that Jesus has asked us to be seen, then they cannot help but praise God who is in heaven. And they cannot help be pointed to the one who is the source, who is the light of the world. And everything we do should bring glory to the Father and point to the one who is the light of the world. Isn't that true? Is that right? Absolutely everything we do. There are no exceptions. Everything we do should point people to Jesus. So, illustration, purposes only. Mobile phone. My mobile phone is on, but it's on silent. It's always good in church to have it on, but in silent, on silent. Now, I want to, don't dim the light yet. Just hang on a minute. I want to use this as an illustration. This is our life. Okay, you are a mobile phone. Did you know that? You are a mobile phone. In my mobile phone, I have a thing, if I can get it to work, called a light. Some of you have them on your phone. Who has them on your phone? You will need them later. Make sure they're on silent and make sure that your light is ready. Now, we're going to turn the light. At the moment, that light, you can see it, can't you? But it's not that bright. Because of the surroundings, we have lots of light. So we're going to turn the light off for a minute. All the lights off for a minute. You won't be frightened, will you? You'll be pleased that you can't see me. All the lights, that's great. So you see my light here. Do you think that light shines brighter in the darker, in the darkness? Can't see you. Yes or no? Okay, so teenagers, could you come and join me just down here with your phones? That's great, they're in today. Anybody that wants to be a teenager that wants to join me with a phone, put your phone and I say, can you just stand at the front? I'll come and join you. Oh, me back. Okay, so let's shine our lights, okay? Today, Simon, that's great, that's great. Okay. So isn't it good that we're shining light? Let's walk closer to this young man here. Okay, so you are. Can you see Tony now? Put your light around Tony. That's great. We're shining on the darkness, and we're shining. We're bringing the light to Tony. Isn't that right? In a dark situation. Tony, you look much better in this light. You put your light back on. That's great. Let's just go and find somebody else. Let's go over here and let's go to this young lady here. Okay. That's it. Just put our light around this lady, so we can all see that. You haven't washed your hair. Okay. So the spotlight is lighting up the person that we're standing by right now, yeah? Isn't that true? Okay. Thank you, teenagers. We can put the light back on for a minute. You can come back and join me in a minute. We can put the lights back up. That's great. So for illustration purposes, this is our life, and we've turned on the light in our life. Well, we haven't turned it on. We've enabled it to penetrate the darkness. In the light, it's not as powerful, but in the darkness, it's quite powerful, yes? Would you agree with me? Now, the light of Jesus within us is far more powerful than that, of course. It's just an illustration. The darker it gets, the light stands out more and more dramatically. The torch hasn't changed. The torch is exactly the same as it was before. The surroundings have changed. Does this make sense? Is this understandable to everybody? It's not the torch that's changed. It's the surroundings that surround us that have changed. It is now shining in a marked contrast to its surrounding, and it penetrates the darkness. So the torch represents the Christian believer who shines in the midst of our communities. In the midst of a community now that we live in, that less and less people believe in Jesus, more and more people are anti-Christian, more and more people in our post-Christian society don't want to know Jesus or are opposed to him. So what is important to us? What is really, really important to us is that we carry the light of the world that penetrates our dark communities. And let's not be deceived. We live in dark communities, don't we? We do. We're living in situations where there are so many bad things happen, where in the darkness, where the gospel isn't preached as much as it used to be, where the churches in lots of places are in decline, ours isn't, and our movement isn't. Our churches are growing and growing and growing. But in our communities, many people are opposed to what the Christians want to do. I've been to meetings where people say, I wish you church do-gooders would stop doing what you're doing. And I said to them, if we stop what we're doing, who's going to do it then? Because you're not. And there are people that want to silence the church because of what the darkness brings. Jesus brings both light and life. Jesus says this word in John 1, verse 5, or it's written about Jesus. John 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Matt, can we have the projector on the back? I think it's turned off. Yeah, it's my fault because I told you to turn everything off. John 1 verse 5, is it on there? No, okay. John 1 verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus brings both light and life. Light and darkness are essentially antagonistic to each other. What does that mean? What does antagonistic to each other mean? They're in complete opposites. They're against each other. Light and darkness are against each other. Don't be deceived. What this world offers is darkness. What Jesus brings is light. What Jesus brings is opposed to what happens in the world. It is antagonistic against each other. It is opposed. And in this post-Christian world, it wants to eliminate Christianity. They're trying to do it very subtly in our nation. But their purpose is, and the people behind it, is they want the Christian voice to be silenced. They want every church to be closed and every church to become something else. I'm sorry, but that is the truth. Do you agree with me or not? I believe it is. People want Christianity to be snuffed out. Why? Because Christians bring light to the world. And if the light to the world isn't shining, then it becomes dark. And what happens in darkness? Evil prevails. In darkness, evil prevails. That's why, as the light of the world, we're carrying the light of the world, we step into a world and we bring light so that evil will not prevail. So what we carry is vitally important within us. We know that Jesus, the light of the world, is not only greater than the darkness, but it will also outlast the darkness. Jesus is not only greater than the darkness, he will outlast the darkness. How do we know that? Because we've read the Bible, we've read the book of Revelation, we know how the story ends. There's a battle, but we know how the story ends. And the story ends almost at, in verse in 21, 23. And it's talking about heaven. And it's talking about where Jesus is right now. And it talks about what is going to happen at the end days. When Jesus has returned, he's taken those people that love him back to be with him in heaven. This is what it says in Revelation 21, 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Peter, I hate to tell you this, but there'll be no electricians in heaven. Well, there will be electricians in heaven, but there won't be electricians that are working in heaven. Do you know why? Because we don't have lights. We don't have lights. There's no lights that will light up heaven. There's no street lamps in your mansions of gold. There's no street lamps. There's no lights. Do you know why? Because what will light up heaven will be Jesus, the light of the world, who overcomes the darkness and who outlasts the darkness. There'll be some things that won't be in heaven. There'll be no sin, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no pain, there'll be no darkness. And why there's no darkness is because Jesus, the light of the world, who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, will light up heaven forever. That's an amazing power source, isn't it? I bought myself the other day a lamp, which is a rechargeable lamp. It lasts 3 hours, just in case the power went off today and you couldn't see me in the sermon. Lasts three hours. I want to tell you, Jesus, the light of the world, will light heaven for eternity. That's how powerful he is. And this world that we live in today needs to see that light. Do you agree? Are you asleep yet? Okay. You can get ready with your torches in a minute. I want us to be honest and to be truthful. We once lived in a nation that was closer to Jesus than we do now. It's almost like our light and the light of the gospel was in harmony with its surroundings. But what is happening is it's getting darker and darker and darker. Have you ever noticed those days where you look and it's about 1 o'clock and all of a sudden it's gone dark and it's suddenly come from nowhere? And we can't be asleep, church, and not recognise it's getting darker outside. We can't pretend it's still light. Our surroundings are changing day in, day out. And we live in a society today where it is antagonistic to what we believe. I want to say that the church should stand out brighter than it's ever done before. You and I should shine a light brighter in our lives than we've ever done before, because this world needs it. Isn't this true? The very time that we come under the most attack in our own personal lives, and let me say, I feel like I've been under more personal attack as a pastor in this church just lately than any other time in my life. And rather than just lie down and die or give up, my light needs to shine brighter than it's ever shone before because of the need. People who are sick need the light of Jesus to shine upon them. And we need to model and allow the light of Jesus to penetrate this earth because it's working in and through us. If we blend in with what's happening in our surroundings now, it's not going to change people's lives. Now, we know only Jesus can change people's lives, and Jesus has the power to do that. I'm not saying that we have the power to change people's lives, but if we blend in and be like everything else, that is not going to change the life of anybody. Isn't that true? But if we shine brighter than we've ever shone before, we're going to bring glory to the Father and we're going to point people to the one who is the source. And I know there are people in this room that are going through things that it's very easy just to turn the light off. Preserve the energy. I'll shine later. This is the time now for the church to shine as never before, because the darkness is darker. And it's lasting longer. And it's surrounding the church. And we carry Jesus, the light of the world. Israel was called to be distinctively different. Do you remember that phrase? Distinctively different. I want you to tell the person next to you, you and I are called to be distinctively different. Distinctively different, not just a little bit, not just marginally, not just bring just a tiny little bit of difference. Distinctively different. When people look at us, they go, those strange people that go to Oasis Christian Centre. Those are those people that believe that God can heal the sick. Those are those people that actually raise their hands and worship God and do funny little things and carry Bibles. on their phones. Those are the people, actually, that when I was sick came to visit me. Those are the people that when I couldn't cook, cooked me a meal. Those are the people that when I had nothing in my house, came and brought things to me. Those are the people when I couldn't work in my garden because I was so poorly, came and did my garden. Those are the people that, who are distinctively different. Friends, we're all getting ready for Christmas. We're all thinking about what's going to happen at Christmas, who we're going to have around for dinner, who we're going to, what toys we're going to buy, what presents we're going to buy, etc., etc. What should be on our mind first and foremost above everything else is being distinctively different. The Jews were called to bring the light to the Gentiles. Jesus took on that responsibility. He became the light of the world. He gives that to us today so that we may carry it. Jews that are now getting saved, they're called Messianic Jews. And you know there's loads of them getting saved at the moment. Isn't that great? Do you know why? Because Jesus hasn't finished with the Jewish people. And if anybody tells you he has, read your Bible and you'll find that actually he's going to use them again. And Jews that are coming back and becoming believers in Jesus as the Messiah, that actually go, actually, he was the Messiah and we got it wrong, and actually we know he is the Messiah. They do something very special. The ladies, the oldest lady. The eldest lady in the family will do something 18 minutes or approximately before it gets dark on Shabbat, which is the day that they start their holy day. We have our Sunday. They start on a Friday night. As soon as it starts to get dark, their service starts. And the oldest lady, she will take two candles and she will light the candles 18 minutes before. And she will wave over the camera three times as though it's because the darkness is coming and she wants the candles to be really bright. Then she'll put her hands over her eyes and she'll pray this prayer. And in your notes at the bottom of your notes, it will tell you what the prayer is in Hebrew and you can attempt to have a go at it. This is what she says in her prayer. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to be a light to the nations. So they go back to their original roots to be a light to the nations, and who gave us Jesus, our Messiah, the light of the world. Friends, I want to say to you and just to remind you and to remind myself that Jesus doesn't ask us, would you mind awfully shining your light for me today? Jesus says in Matthew, you are now going to carry the light. He's already commissioned us. He's given us the baton. Jesus has already, he's not said, would you mind doing it? He said, you are the ones that are to do it because I'm going to work through you. And God empowers us. He never asks us to do anything that we can't do himself. Part of our devotion to him, and we haven't finished this series quite yet, as we move on to another building block for our life of our church, is for us to be willing and ready right now to carry the light, Jesus, into our dark situations. So we won't turn the projector and everything off, Matt, but we will try and turn these spots off by me. If you've got your phones with you, while they're on silent, put your lamp on. Got your lamp? Can we do this middle section? I think it's that round disc. That's wonderful. You got your light? John, could you come and join me on the stage? Diane? Any of the leadership team that are in here, could you come and join me on the stage? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If you haven't got a torch, just pretend you're a light. Okay. Now what I want you to do is, worship team, if you can come and join us, if you've got your light and your torch, you can come and bring your light. And how are we going to respond to this message? We're going to do it today by doing something very practical. Cole, yours is blinding me, Alistair. That is a bright light. is I want to ask you to respond to this message today. And there'll be another response in a minute for those people that don't know Jesus or want to give their life to Jesus. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that if you wish today. But you see how the leadership team are trying to shine the light and the worship team are trying to shine the light. And I'm not saying to you it's ever going to be easy, because it's not. And if I told you it was going to be easy, I'd be lying to you. Because to shine in a dark place means that we stand out above everybody else. And I want to ask you to respond today by getting your torch and coming and joining us at the front. If you haven't got a torch, grab the hold of hand with somebody and don't fall over your chair or fall over a person. But everybody could get out of their seats and make their way into the front as a symbolic sign that we're going to ask Jesus to allow our light to be shine as never before. You'll need to squeeze right up to the end of the stage. Come right up to the end of the stage. And we're going to lift our lights up as high as possible. You need to squeeze right in, because I want everybody to come and join us if you can. Bring your lights. Squeeze right up. Get a bit of close fellowship together. We need a bigger stage. Alan, can you build one for next week? Squeeze right up. Squeeze right up. David Mitchell, could you bring the wheelchair, my wheelchair friend here? Bring him close. That's it. Do you want to come up, Fred, or do you want to stay there? He's happy, okay. Great. Matt, have you got your phone with your light on? David, have you got your phone? Look at those at the back there in the crash with their lights on. This is our prayer together today. Lord Jesus, this is our prayer. Lord, help us to let our light shine as never before. Lord Jesus, perhaps we've hidden our lamp under a bushel or under a bowl. But Lord Jesus, in response to your sermon today, we're going to ask you to help us shine brighter than we've ever shone before in our lives. That, Lord, this Christmas time, we will bring glory to the Father and we will point them to the source of the light, which is Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we lift our light as high as we can. We lift it and say, Lord, illuminate everything that we do. Help us to be like you in all that we say and we do. Lord, help us not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, before you go to bed, get your phone out. Do not text me. Turn the lights out. Put your light on and ask God to help you be the light of the world to the world that Jesus has called you to be. Please take your seats. Thank you. Very carefully. And if we can have some of the lights back up. No. Okay. What I need you to do now is we're going to have a time of worship, but before we do so, I just want you to take your seats for a second before we worship together. I'd like you just to close your eyes for a minute when you're seated. And if there is anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't know Jesus and your personal Saviour, and you know that you need him, I want to give you the opportunity. So This is a very important part of the service today. A very special part of the service where I want to give you the opportunity to do that. So if you could just close your eyes for a minute. If anybody wants to give their life to Jesus in any way today, would you just raise your hand before we continue to worship so that I can see you? Would you lift your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. You can put your hand down now. Lord, we thank you that you save our souls. You give us a hope and a future, and you are our future. And I pray, Lord, a person that has responded today, Lord, that they would just be totally in love with you and to come to know you in a very powerful way. Thank you, Jesus, for this precious life. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to worship Jesus. What song are we doing? Light of the World. Oh, yeah. Let's sing. Let's stand together and worship. Come on.